all about her, her body, her mind, her wellness, her sex, her relationships, her aging, her beauty. It's Her Radio. Starring acclaimed entrepreneur and women's advocate, Michelle King Robeson, and leading women's health expert, the doc who walks the talk, Dr. Pam Peek.
What's love got to do with it?
Oh, boy.
Hey, Michelle, excuse me. I mean, I'm
what
trying
kind of
really
voice
hard
is that?
Here. Okay, I know. Don't give up my
yeah, don't
day
give
job.
Up your day job, please. Whatever you do.
Oh my.
So what are we doing?
Well, we're talking about, how does being in love affect your brain? Now, we've all been there. Some of us are still there, happily. And some of us are just entering into this wonderful world of love on your brain. And, well, so let's just find out more about it. Is there some science behind this? Well, Dr. Lucy Brown, who is a neuroscientist and clinical professor in neurology at Einstein College of Medicine in New York, says, heck yeah, it is. There's plenty of science behind here, because she's worked on those pleasure neurons, the dopamine neurons in your brain, and tests their plasticity, woo, when it comes to things like L-O-V-E. Dr. Brown, welcome to Her Radio. We're so happy to have you on, and I'm very excited about this little topic. So what does happen to your brain when you're in love?
Oh, it's so interesting. It's your romance. Let's talk about romance first. When you're in that first stage of intense romantic love and you can't think about anything else except that other person, your brain is activated in this very primitive reward system. You were just talking about those dopamine neurons. That makes you feel so good. And what I realized when I first saw the data from the brain scanning studies that we did, I realized that romantic love is really an important survival mechanism. You know, it's that important. It helps us survive. It's like hunger. So the psychologists define romantic love as something, as a state when you wish for emotional union with another person. Now, we certainly feel that, and that's certainly, that's a great definition of romantic love. But it's even more than that. Our brains are telling us that it's a drive. The other person is a focus in our life, like when we're thirsty. You know, if you've been thirsty, you've been on a hike, you've run out of water, and suddenly you can't think of anything else except, when you can get down the mountain and there'll be some water. You're totally focused on getting water. And for me now, the way I see romantic love is it's like thirst and your partner is water.
Boy, I know what that feels like. Oh, I so
you
know what that
not,
feels
Michelle.
Like. Oh, yes, I do. Oh, yes, I do. And I'm not afraid to admit it. Of course,
she's in love.
Lucy, I am, I'm a single woman. So all this romance, love, everything is, the romance piece of it is huge for me. But I'm wondering if, since you started this research, if your ideas about romance and love have changed.
Well, I used to think about romance certainly as, and even love, I didn't think about it too much. They were, euphoria. You felt some great emotion, but it was short term, so it didn't matter very much, So I've come kind of 180 degrees here, because I didn't think it really mattered that much. It's this short term emotion. Now I realize that we were built to seek out and attach ourselves to another person. Nature built us to look for a relationship because it really helps to protect us. That's the longer term thing that love does. This romance sets you up to attach to somebody else and not only raise children, but also to, kind of protect your unit, pool resources, that kind of thing.
Great. Well, can I then ask you, I'm going to put on my little science hat, and you're a scientist as well. All right. What the heck's going on in the brain? You know, many people have said that something like this is, you know, this romance love issue is obviously acting on the reward center in the brain, giving you a high, very much like drugs.
Cocaine.
So explain this. Yeah.
As a matter of fact, you know, when I first started doing these studies, they already knew the systems that were activated by cocaine. And I was interested in, well, what's a natural euphoria? You know, they know about the systems that drugs are activating. What about a natural euphoria? And that's really why I started these studies. And guess what? So it turns out that there's a huge overlap. It's very much the same system. And as a matter of fact, the way I think it is now, and a lot of other people do too, is that really things like romance or things like thirst, and then that quenching of the thirst feels so good, those are the natural systems, the natural euphoric systems, and drugs just hop onto those systems and stimulate them in an unnatural and you know, very steady and intense way. So we need natural addictions. You can think of really food, water, you know, romance. These are the natural addictions.
So can someone become addicted to being in love?
Some people claim they are addicted to being in love. It certainly feels so good. But that's not being in love. You're focused on another person, not on the high. If you're really in love, in our definition of what real love and romance is, mm-hmm. you're focused on another person. It makes you feel good. That's great. But it's the other person that matters. You die for them, you know.
I think your point is really well taken. I like Michelle's question because there's a difference here. All right, you've got romance, we've got love, and we've got sex. And new neuroscience,
sex.
I'm sure you've seen. Okay, we're not even going to go there. All right, 50 Shades of Her Radio is all I'm saying, honey. That's the new name for this radio. All right, so seriously, there is new neuroscience that shows that sex addiction, per se, may actually exist. People have actually done some new PET scanning and other brain evaluations to really see this. But you're talking about love and romance, and that's different than the sex
yes.
thing. Can you help us tease that apart a little bit?
Real easy. I mean, in terms of, I'll just, for a neuroscientist, the sex and that sex addiction is the hypothalamus. Romance is the midbrain, the ventral tegmental area, and the caudate nucleus. Now, as a scientist, I can tell you these different systems and different nuclei. What that matters to the person who isn't a scientist is just that they are differently processed in the brain. There are different regions. I mean, and if you think about it, as a matter of fact, when you think about sex, you can be aroused and have sex with, even by watching a movie, and then it can go away. A lot of things can arouse you. For romance,
right,
when you're in love, it's that one person.
Right. All right, so, you know, sex, romance, love. Let's keep this really clear out there. The love and the romance piece of this are all about the bonding, really looking at what happens in the reward center. And really, at the end of the day, those are the kinds of wonderful, as you put it, addictions that we really want more than anything else. This is absolutely fabulous and great information in helping us understand how does being in love affect your brain. It's all good. We love love and we love romance. And Michelle will tell us all about that in another segment, I'm sure.
No one loves it more than I do.
Thank you. We want to thank you, Dr. Lucy Brown, neuroscientist, clinical professor in neurology at Einstein Medical Center. I'm Dr. Pam Peek with Michelle King-Robeson.
And don't forget to go to the website, theanatomyoflove.com. You're listening to Her Radio on Radio MD. Stay well.